Psalm 122. Psalm 122, hear now the word of the Lord. A song of ascent of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This far the reading of scriptures, and I will also read from Lord's Day 50 in the Heidelberg Catechism. It's on page 86 in the back of your Psalter. In question 125, it asks, what is the fourth petition? And the answer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Dear congregation, today we have the special privilege to come together for our annual prayer day service. And today also, where the two congregations are coming together for this purpose. And it's a blessing that we can come together in peace, where we can draw near to the Lord in the public worship. And this is a day where we look forward in anticipation of a new season that lies ahead of us, of a new springtime, a new harvest, and everything that is involved, a new season of the planting and harvesting and whatever kind of career that we're in. And we all desire peace, and we all desire prosperity in our lives and in our occupations and on our labors. And that's the dream that many people have pursued as well, even coming to this country from many different countries. There have been people who've tried to escape their own lands, either because of war or persecution or poverty. Some come merely to seek wealth and prosperity in a material way, but others also come for, or have come for, religious freedoms, finding a place where they're able to serve God freely. Many pilgrims came from England and came to the shores of North America in the past. And for various reasons, our own parents or grandparents, and many of us here, have come from that direction as well, to find a home here in North America. And so it's a great privilege to be able to live and to work in a country where there is enough work and where there is that freedom. When in various countries there is not enough work for husbands to provide for their families. And so work itself is a gift from God that comes from paradise. And God rests blessing on diligent and faithful labors and working. And so when we receive enough to supply our family, when we have everything that we need, this is a great gift from God. And that is why it's also so important that we come together to acknowledge this, to thank the Lord for his provision, and to seek the Lord for his provision in the coming year again. Because we all know that prosperity in itself is also not enough. That material wealth and ease cannot survive alone. And Jesus often enough warned about the dangers of persecution that can lead people away from him, but also the dangers of wealth that draw people away from God. And he gave that example, did he not, of the rich farmer who built bigger barns so that he could store up all his goods. He wanted to take his ease in this world. He thought that was all that he needed. And yet the Lord called him a fool and said, tonight, this night, your soul will be required of you. And then whose will all your belongings be? His priorities were misplaced. And so Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we come here together tonight. Here's a day, a time where we confess our dependence on God, where we recognize our need for his blessing for the coming year, a day where we seek not only for prosperity, but also especially peace. Because what good is prosperity if there is no peace? And as the farmer, as with the example of the rich young farmer, what good is earthly prosperity without eternal peace? And so as we come together here tonight, we are all pilgrims, all traveling to eternity. And so what better way to examine this by following the example of a pilgrim who has gone before us? And that's what we see here in the Psalm of Psalm 122. And if we read again in our Bibles, verse 6 of Psalm 122, there it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And so our theme for this evening is a pilgrim's prayer for peace. A pilgrim's prayer for peace. And first we'll see that his focus is on the city of God. His focus was on the city of God. In this Psalm of David, we see a pilgrim who is making his annual journey as well to the city of Jerusalem. And along with thousands of others, they would make this trek from wherever their homes would go to the city of Jerusalem. They would have to travel through deserts and through mountains, through dangerous roads to arrive there. And so the city of Jerusalem was the pilgrim's focus. It was in his prayers and in his desires to be there. And that's where the joy and delight of his heart was found. It's in the city of Jerusalem where the house of the Lord was situated. And that was the central focus of it all. This was the one place where God had shown his glory to his people. This is where the people of Israel would come together to sing their praises and give their thanksgiving to the Lord. And here's where they came to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And for many of them, it was far away. They could only go there once or twice a year. And so they were glad, as verse 1 says, when they finally heard this call again. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This psalm is the third in a series of what is known as the Song of Ascents, psalms that these pilgrims would sing as they traveled to Jerusalem. And they would sing these on their journey. And the first two, one of them that we also sang from 121, are more of a lament, a cry for prayer and deliverance from their oppressors or from their enemy. And if you think of the little towns that they left behind as they traveled to Jerusalem, these towns could lay unprotected and open to the dangers of the enemies. And even the roads on which they traveled were often full of dangers from robbers, thieves, or wild animals. And so they needed protection on the way. But for the pilgrim, He was especially journeying here to Jerusalem as a central place of their religion. It's where they would go especially to seek deliverance from their sin and from their guilt. And so he comes to Jerusalem, and in verse 2, it's like he arrives here in the city in verse 2, and you can almost see, hear him breathe a sigh of relief that they're now standing in the city after a long journey. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Here, his focus is on this city, on this place of safety, of the place of their worship. And he is standing there in the city. And we here tonight are gathered together in this building. And for us here, it's a little reprieve as well from the world, as it would have been for him to go to Jerusalem. Here the gates of the Lord's house have been opened for us to enter, as they are every Lord's Day. And this also is by the grace of God that we can come together in peace and in safety. When in these last years we've seen how quickly these things can change and how quickly it can be threatened. And so when the call comes out to us every Sunday, does our heart also sing here with verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's where our focus is, in the worship of our God, in the assembly of the people of the saints. This is where we come to seek the living God. And that's what the pilgrim came to this city for. And then you can see him, he comes and he's walking down these streets of the city, and there he stops. And he looks and he admires these buildings that he sees, and he sees how the city is built, how it's well built, it's compact together, verse 3 says. He recognizes this as a place of community, a place of unity and structure. The city was knitted together, tightly knit together. It speaks of strength and safety with its walls around it, how everything was put together in the time of David. And especially in the times of these feast days, they would have up to over 500,000 people that would come visit this town or this city. And it says the tribes of the Lord would come from all directions. And you can imagine the joy and the unity that was felt among them when all the different tribes came together to this one central place. And again, if we think now of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church that is built by the Holy Spirit, built not with stones as the city of Jerusalem was, but now built with living stones. You could say compact together, constructed, believers being joined into that one body of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, joined together in one faith and one hope and one Lord. Do we see and recognize how the church of God is built together, constructed properly and well built? Here we can see the reverse of what happened at the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, the people tried to build that tower. They wanted to honor themselves. They wanted to make a name for themselves. But the Lord dispersed them with changing their language. Their focus was on their own name. But here in the city, the focus is on the name of the Lord. And also in the church, through the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing people from all around the world to himself. You could say that the city gates of this church are open to all who would enter through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus. And the focus of this church is on the name of God. Not on what man can do, not on what man can build, but what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so is that city, that church, also our focus and our joy from week to week? Verse 4 says there, the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Just like the Lord Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You are my witnesses." And as the church gathers, they are the witnesses in this world. They have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And so our lives as a church is to be a witness in this world, a witness of what our faith is in, that is God. And so does our testimony, as with the psalm, give thanks to the name of the Lord? Do we see the beauty and the design of the church of God? Because that's the purpose of the church, is to praise and to thank God. And that is why the pilgrims came to this city, to praise and to thank God. And as pilgrims traveling to eternity, it's a joy of your soul, isn't it, to speak of the heavenly Jerusalem with each other, of the heavenly city, especially at the times of the worship service when you come together for that very purpose. That should be the focus of our hearts and our homes and our workplaces. Do we long for that communion together with the other pilgrims as we come together in these places? That's what this pilgrim saw here, together with the tribes, together to give thanks to the name of the Lord, together to praise the name of their God. And this is the place where the Lord feeds and nourishes and strengthens his people. In the church, it's through the word and through the sacraments. To travel or to strengthen the travelers on the way to the eternal city. Hebrews 11 speaks of those men of faith who sought the heavenly country. But it says if their minds had been set on the earthly, they could have returned there. But their desire was for that better country where God had prepared a city for them. Their focus was on that eternal city. And yes, we must seek God for his blessings in this land and in our work. But we do so with a pilgrim's heart. A heart that is set on the new Jerusalem. For as Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do we also have that pilgrim's desire? The pilgrim's desire to be in the house of the Lord, in the city of God, to give thanks and praise unto our God. Because further, this pilgrim, he not only shows his love and his focus on this city, but then we also see his desire for the peace of this city, which is our second thought, a desire for the peace of God. This pilgrim, as he's in Jerusalem there, he can see he's overflowing with joy and praise as he admires this city of Jerusalem, but it's as if he suddenly stops and now calls for the prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. In verse 6, he realizes that without peace, there can be no prosperity. A city at war is no peace. And so he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. Now to prosper means to be at ease and to have enough and to be comfortable with what we have and secure. Like that city would give security and supply. But that city needs peace in order to prosper. If there's no peace, there will be no prosperity. And so his prayer is born out of that desire for the peace for the city of God, for the peace of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means city of peace. It's shalom. And in order to be able to gather there every year with the tribes, there needs to be peace in that city. We can think of the many countries, over 60 countries around the world, where it's not possible to gather and worship in peace. We can think of the war-torn countries where there is fighting and often persecution, where they're not able to gather. There's no peace. And now also in the Ukraine, their peace has been shattered. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where his people are being gathered from every nation. We can think of the different sicknesses and pestilences that have plagued history. We've seen the virus spreading through our own countries, disrupting the peace of many. We've seen how countries have shut down so many things, even their own borders or travelers. They even shut down the church, many church gatherings. Nations trying to preserve the peace, trying to preserve the prosperity within the walls of their own nation. They want to keep out the enemy of sickness and death. And along with it all, the church has seen a lot of turmoil, a lot of divisions. And a nation divided against a nation cannot stand. And a house divided against a house, Jesus says, cannot stand. And a church divided against itself cannot stand. And so he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in verse 7 he says, peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Let there be peace. Let there be freedom from anxiety and fear. Let there be prosperity within those walls. Let there be unity. Because how can there be freedom from anxiety when there is no peace? No peace from the enemies or from sickness or death. No peace from thieves. No peace with an unstable market and oil prices. No peace from wars and disasters. And yet all, most of those things are outside those walls. But we also need peace within the walls. And it's with this desire that pilgrim comes to Jerusalem. He needs peace and safety in order to prosper in his land. Just like he prayed in the earlier Psalms for deliverance from his oppressors. And now as he walks through the streets of Jerusalem, he sees a city where peace dwells. Here is where he sees that the king sits on his throne, on a throne of judgment to defend his people. Here is the throne of David, who defeated all the enemies. Here is a place where the oppressed can come to the king to receive justice, to receive protection. And this is a throne that then speaks of the greater David, the Messiah, the place where perfect peace and perfect justice and judgment dwell. He is the one who is called the Prince of Peace. He is the one who has conquered all his enemies. And so as this pilgrim walks then past the palace and he comes to the temple, now there he sees the burnt sacrifices. And likely when he came up to Jerusalem was that very intention to bring a lamb to the temple courts. A lamb he would have to bring to the altar of burnt sacrifice. A lamb where he would have to place his hand on top of the head of the animal, signifying the transfer of his sin and his guilt and his failures. And there his guilty conscience would be looking for peace. And then that little lamb would be taken and offered on the altar and burnt up as a sacrifice instead of him. And as he stood there, he would catch a glimpse of what peace with God consists of. And his mind would go back into scriptures. And he would remember Isaiah 53, where it says he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That lamb who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And as that pilgrim would witness that lamb being sacrificed, he saw there that only way of peace with God. And he would feel in his own heart that, like Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. Here he shows how, and here he sees how all our sins can be taken away, and how our peace with God can be restored through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let there be peace within those walls. Here is where the picture of peace with God is shown, pointing through to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here that pilgrim can find peace as they enter by faith and find that provision in the Lamb of God. Peace brought into the hearts through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And his desire in verse 8, it says, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. He desires that peace for his friends and for his family. Here, there is peace for all those within those walls. Here is the haven of safety for those who come. Pray for this peace in verse 9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This is the only place where that peace can be found. And so pray for that peace of Jerusalem, he says. We must pray for the peace within our churches. We must pray for that peace within our own hearts. Because if we do not have this safety of that peace, then there's no earthly prosperity that can help. And there will come a time and a day that we have to leave that all behind. And then we have to stand before that righteous judge of heaven and earth who has perfect justice and perfect judgment. And there you have to say, there's no peace, says the Lord to the wicked. No peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those pilgrims who find peace with God, you still need to travel through this life and through this world. You still need to travel through this world that's filled with pestilence and wars and thieves and death. And we need his protection and provision. But here also, he promises that protection. And he says, do not fear those who can kill only the body. Here the pilgrim, he shows great concern for his family and friends. We must pray for the peace of those prodigal sons and daughters who wander outside the safety of those walls, who try to find peace in this world and yet wander away from the only place where peace can be found. We must pray for those who are seeking peace for their soul. There is no more altar that we have to go to in the city of Jerusalem, but we have an altar that we must come to by faith, as John writes, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this pilgrim sees that it's not in his power to produce this peace. But he has a weapon of prayer that he brings. And how often do we see that our only weapon for preserving peace is prayer. And as we see this new season coming, and as we're reminded of the season that has passed, we are reminded that we cannot bring anything, no rain, no sunshine. We cannot control the markets or the economy. We cannot control the sickness. We cannot control the economy. And yet, we're called to go and to plant and to work and to labor. We're called to train up our children. We're called to be faithful witnesses in this world. And God alone can give the increase. And so with the psalmist here, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we preserve both the persecuted and the prosperous nations all around the world. Pray that the gospel of peace may spread to every nation and every corner. Pray that there might be peace remaining in our land where rulers and kings take counsel together against the Christ. Pray for the peace of God upon our labors, that we with joy and gladness may go about our daily work and be able to support our families. Because what is a city without peace? What is a prosperity without peace in the land? And what is earthly wealth without eternal peace with God? And so we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper that love thee, he says in verse 6. Let us then come together tonight to pray for the peace of our land and churches and families. Amen.